Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Am I here? Am I on? Turn this damn thing on. All right, Leaves is here, but that's not what we're looking for. This is what we're looking for, right here. Nick will appreciate it. Ready?
Is this the one?
Yeah. I'm looking over a four-leaf plug with a banjo.
With a banjo on my knee.
Oh, you can't beat that with a damn stick. Bugs Bunny sings that all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what made us decide to play that, but we just decided.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, that's all, folks. Very see what good. You did there.
Leaves is back from Florida. He is. I haven't seen him this happy since, I don't know what, fill in the blank.
2006.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
No, I'm quite jovial.
You're extra jovial because you're looking svelte.
Yeah, you're generally an upbeat person on a scale of like his, you know, Joe Downer and woo, that guy. You're like, if that's 1 to 10, you normally live your life at like a 7 or 8. You're up there. But right now, you're teetering on 9.
Well, you and I have had life talks, so there's always that that factors in. You and I have talked about myriad of subjects.
Heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, no, it's good to just got back from...
That's what vacation's supposed to be.
Exactly.
I like the stash. You're rocking a stash.
I am.
A little. It's not quite a Dick Dastardly stash.
I could swear... Were you in Sailor's Night Out and Boys Will Be Boys? I could swear that you were in.
Yeah, I was
like
in
a
that.
70s
that's,
porn mustache.
Look it up.
I was. Yeah, there we go.
Nick likes it, right?
It's not bad. It's good. A little flavor saver. Yeah. There you go.
I can't do like Tanner. I can't do the.
Joe's got the wrong fingers.
Yeah. Mine won't grow out like that.
That would drive me nuts, though, by the way. Doesn't that drive you crazy?
Yeah, there are times that it gets like in my mouth when I'm eating food.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you're always twirling it like Snidely Whiplash. And I'm like, man.
But I get a lot of compliments, so I'm like, I got to keep it up. That for the mixtape.
Hey, mixtape. Yep, there we go. There we go. So you're here after a great vacation. How much of it do you wish to share?
Sure, all of it.
Because that's pretty cool. You got to stay at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida, which
yes.
is ritzy, ritzy.
Very ritzy. A very swanky joint. Better than any of those rub joints in Vegas. They have a casino. They actually have a sports book.
Yeah, I knew that.
I
have the Hard Rock Sportsbook app on my phone.
So Emery had an absolute blast. It's a guitar hotel, too. So at night, you go out to the pool, and they play music, and the hotel lights up. And she was just enamored with all that. And
very cool.
There was like three large pools and all kinds of areas. So and great restaurants.
Pretty
it was
much
great.
Guaranteeing that no guy will ever be good enough for your daughter. So she'll be faced with a lifetime of...
We knew that.
Unsatisfied met sadness. No,
you're
I'm
getting
kidding.
A stash.
There you go.
Okay. Nice. You look good, Nick.
Thank you. Semi-glutide. Shout out Tri-State Men's Health, baby.
You guys
down
are
about 10, 12 pounds.
And he brought that up only because, like the golfer, what'd you hit on 7? He wants to tell you what he hit on 7. He wants us to say,
exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Look at you. Oh, my
you
God.
You got that boxer body.
I was been working out.
I wasn't trying to like hide that. That's exactly why I did it.
But you are broader in your shoulders.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah. Also went to the beach, and it took a little coaxing to get Emery to go in because Well, one day
to the ocean?
Yes.
Oh, she's great. You're both crazy.
No, we went to the ocean. She
just to dip a toe and to say you did it.
And we saw a school of fish near the shore. So obviously she has a little shark fear, like
every rational person. Human being.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I love the ocean. I love going in there and swimming. And I don't, you know,
God bless you.
You can't live in your fears. Just go in there and enjoy it.
Or you can go to a pool. See, there's the difference.
We did both.
Yeah, pools. There's no sharks. Oceans, sharks.
Sometimes there's alligators in pools though.
And stuff.
Good point.
Well, that is a fair point.
Especially in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's crazy stuff. So that was a great trip. What, you spent the whole time there?
We spent one day at my friend's house. Then we went then the rest of the time at the Hard Rock.
At
yes.
The Hard Rock.
But I was able to go to the beach and then go to eat with my sister and her kids. Bob, I'm telling a story here.
Please. I know, but Nick.
So somebody walked by and gave us the L's up. So.
Oh, yes.
They're an L's up.
Yeah.
But I thought it might be somebody.
I thought it was important. Phil Terullo for a split second. It's not Phil Terullo.
So a great time. You were gone a week?
I was gone a week.
Oh, you can't beat that.
Nope.
Good vacations rejuvenate your battery. And you can usually tell how good a vacation it is by how long it takes you to start getting pissed off again.
Right?
When you come home, a good vacation maybe lasts 3 days. That's about the limit. That's as far out as you go.
And Emory was great. Like, we didn't have an agenda. Like, we had to be.
Yeah, no itinerary. Just
lay around the hotel, go down to the pool when we want, eat when we want. Cool. That was just lovely.
Very, very cool.
Yes.
So you got to watch some shows without doing spoilers.
I'm only halfway through the season.
I haven't seen any of the new ones yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So
you have watched the first two seasons.
Yeah, it's great. It's
finally.
Really yeah. No, it's very good. But what can you? Why is there debate without doing spoiler things about this last installment?
Yeah, it's been panned by some of the critics and then the audience scores as well. I think this season is more character centric with their stories more than the whole group setting and the dynamics, which I do miss because the interaction between Cousin Richie and Carmi, that's
always good.
That's gold.
Yeah, right.
It's gold. And with Sydney kind of in between and whatnot. It's great.
Trying to manage her and Nat, you know, trying to manage everybody. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did enjoy, without spoiling anything, the Tina episode. I did enjoy that one.
So, okay. See, I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay.
But I kind of figured based on what, you know, the first couple episodes that there was going to be some sort of.
Really enjoyed the Tina one.
Episode with. Mm-hmm. Is Tina this season's Richie episode? Like, you know, I mean, like, what was it? Forks.
Right.
Like, Forks is like one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen.
I would concur with that wholeheartedly. That is, I'll rewatch that.
Oh yeah, if I'm
that's
feeling
like
down.
My midnight run.
What is
sometimes
forks?
Forks.
I've never seen that either.
No.
Yes,
no,
you have.
Yeah, you have the episode with
Olivia.
Oh, you mean the episode of the bear?
Yeah.
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
With the restaurant ever.
I thought it was whole other series. Oh no, yes.
With Olivia, what's her last name?
Newton John. Let me show you something.
The English actress.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember her name either. But she's so good.
Yes.
But here's what I wanted to share with you, because understanding on this website, I typed in a Google search, the Bear Season 3 reviews, and it's got glowing reviews still. People love it. It's best show on TV. But here's one that I wanted to, I think you guys would relate to. At its best, the Bear is the finest show on TV, but this new season feels half finished, wastes its best actors, and ends maddeningly. Only two episodes are knockouts. I'm going to be hard on the Bear because when the show is flying, it's really wonderful television. If the first season cooked up a solid base for the drama, returning troubled chef Carmen to the beef, the hectic Chicago sandwich shop owned by his recently deceased brother, is refined it beautifully in the second season. Okay, so they're saying they set it up and then they refined it in season two.
Mm-hmm.
What does she not like about season three? It's a female. The third season then had another level of expectation, but it squeezes its main characters, presses down on them. And we witness the results as some thrive in crisis, some collapse completely. So season three then finds itself in a tricky spot. If Carmen largely gets what he wants, professionally at least, where can the story go? It doesn't quite find a solution. For the people who don't know, without ruining it, he's a guy who is well-trained in the finest restaurants in the world.
Right.
His family has a sandwich shop. His brother dies. He comes back to take it over. And the conflict between him trying to introduce really...
He's maniacal about it. He's obsessed.
He's very passionate about it.
Passionate, obsessed.
And they are looking at him like, we sell sandwiches, Carmen. What are you doing? And so then they fight. But he gets his way in some ways. They fight in other ways. So now what I guess she's saying is what he's his vision of what he wants to have happen, can it be satisfied in the framework in which they operate?
Well, you see, again, the bar was raised so high for the first two seasons.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
And you look at this season, again, not a spoiler, I believe it was in episode one or two. It's just he becomes even more obsessed with like his non-negotiables and things that that everybody has to, and he's changing the menu. And
daily.
And so everybody's not on the same page
anymore.
And
not that they ever were, really.
The front of the house and the back of the house, there's a disconnect. And I just think it would have been even better if there was just more interaction, because nothing's better than Richie and Carmen and every and Tina and Sugar and all that kind of stuff. All of them together as a in a collective group is fantastic. And it almost Nick and I talked about it. It's a claustrophobic feeling, and sometimes the kitchen is like that.
No, yeah,
right?
100%.
This episode, I think, was just almost like backstories and kind of giving you a feel of how they all came together in certain ways. So it's a little,
different. Do you get the feeling, and I don't know because I haven't watched any of this third season.
Still enjoyed it.
I'm watching another show that I've watched all the way through and I've gone back to watch again.
Bluey?
No. I haven't seen all the Blueys yet. Close, though. I'm watching the one, a series where, as I said, you're going back and it's 10 seasons long. So I'm sorry. I love these Australian and British drama shows, whether they're whodunits, mysteries, or whatever. There's one out of Australia called Dr. Blake, I guess, and the one it's called Doc Martin. What's the Dr. Blake one called? Anyway, the point of being, they both were on TV for a long time. So you go back on occasion, you watch ones, you know, again. Hey, let's watch them again. And I realize at the time now, you're not paying attention to because you don't realize the writers obviously had some thoughts way down the road where they were going, and they're planting little seeds there that you don't pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Like, it was on forever, so the Blake, Lucian Blake is his name. His father was a doctor. Now he's a doctor, long story made short. He also worked as a spy for a long time. You don't know that. You watch a whole bunch of seasons before you learn that. So I'm sorry if I ruined it for you. But now I go back and I see the early seasons and things he can do that he just does and he passes off. I just learned it. You realize now they were trying to plant in your mind that wouldn't be a thing a doctor could know, how to pick a lock, he does all these things that spies do. So I'm wondering, is that what they're doing with the bear? Are they trying to plant seeds because they know where they're going to go next year? Or is this the last year? Or like, because you, from listening to you guys, it
renewed.
Sounds like a lot of character development stuff. But three seasons in seems like a long time to be doing that.
That's sort of like, I'm still enjoying the hell out of it. But I just felt like the first,
how many episodes have you watched?
I'm four episodes
in. How many episodes are in the sole third season?
Ten.
I'm four episodes in, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. But it's there does seem to be the fishes episode is intentionally stressful.
That is my favorite. That acting is awesome.
And I just felt like the first episode felt chaotic. It was cool. I liked it.
I think it was intentional.
But yeah, but it was almost like part of me was
to
just
keep
like,
you off balance. Sometimes they do that.
Yeah, but I was like, do we need it to be this off balance? Do I need that much of a backstory about these guys? Like,
well,
and I guess maybe that was sort of, it was almost like too much of a good thing. I liked it, but like, and I like the quick scene of the car getting towed after it goes through the wall. I thought that was like cool, like the little quick shots and everything like that. But just some of it, part of me was also like, okay, I know these characters. Let's get the story going.
Yeah.
It's almost like a prequel I didn't ask for.
See, I enjoyed that part. I think it was psychological from the standpoint of the end of season two, and I don't want to spoil that.
Right.
But it kind of, you see the state of mind that Carmi is in.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I think all that was just flushing in his head because he just couldn't figure out how to make things work because he felt like he let some people down. So
right.
I think it was just, I know what you're saying, because really it was almost a montage.
Yeah, seriously, that's what it felt like. Uh-huh. It felt like a 45-minute montage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was, maybe the other thing is like I have to go back and rewatch things. And anytime.
Go back and rewatch it because it really focused on Claire.
Now, what are you talking about? The end of season two or the beginning of season three?
Beginning of season three.
Rewatch
it. Because
I think a lot of it depended on Claire Bear. And
yeah.
I think that was like his.
What else has he been in, by the way?
He was in The Iron Claw.
Very good.
He was in Shameless.
Because I hear people singing his praises all the time, but I don't really know.
You do know what he signed on to be for his next big role, right? He is playing Bruce Springsteen.
There's a movie about Bruce Springsteen coming out?
And
I'd like to see that now that I just finished Springsteen's book.
Yep, and he is going to play Bruce, the boss.
Not for nothing, but Springsteen, half Italian.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm just saying. Not many people know that.
Is he half Jewish, too?
No, he doesn't have any Jewish in him at all.
I thought he was half Jewish. No. I thought he was in one of the Hanukkah songs. Maybe I'm probably making that up.
I think he is.
I think he might be right. I don't know. But yeah, he's playing the boss.
I'd like to see that.
He's tremendous. He's really good.
Jeremy Allen White. Yeah, mm-hmm. Jeremy Allen White.
Iron Claw.
He was very good in the Iron Claw. That was a very depressing
that
movie.
That was.
He was very good in that.
It was a great movie. It was just brutal.
Yeah. It was tough to watch.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen is of Dutch, Irish, and Italian descent. Grew up a Catholic in Freehold, New Jersey.
That
in
would
fact,
not be Jewish.
Catholicism was tremendously important to one of his parents. I forget.
I did read he likes lox and bagels. So if that's where maybe you got that from, who knows?
He's an interesting dude. His book, I'm telling you, is worth a read. He's a brilliant writer.
Oh, to answer your question from 10 minutes ago, it was Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I did like seeing her. I did like seeing like his kind of rise in her ranks.
And, yes.
I thought that was kind of
And
cool.
then Joel McHale coming back.
Yeah.
And who was the, I'm forgetting names. Who was the other,
The English kid?
Yeah, the English who was
Liam,
in the superhero.
I think is his name or something.
Right. See if you can get this. I'm sorry. I just got excited about this.
Okay.
Well, because I amuse myself. I got my own show going in my head.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Most famous people named Olivia. Give me the top five.
Olivia Newton-John.
There's one.
Olivia Rodrigo, the pop star.
No.
Olivia Munn.
That's two.
Olivia Colman.
Three.
Nice.
Dunn. Olivia Dunn, but it's no. Livy.
Livy Dunn, yeah. Ooh, that was a good guess.
Sorry, that
was a good
guess.
One is an old-time actress. Very old-time actress, you might not even know.
Lawrence Olivier.
No, that's a man. You said you got Olivia Munn, Olivia Colman, Olivia...
Olivia Munn was my crushing top.
Who'd you say? Holt. Who's the other one? Olivia Holt. You said her, right?
No. Oh,
yes, I said it.
Yeah, he said it.
Oh,
he
you
said
did.
It.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh.
So you're missing two. Number two and number four. I already gave you number four. I just said it a minute ago.
Olivia Colman.
No.
Olivia.
The English actress.
No. Olivia Grease. John
Olivia
Travolta.
Newton-John.
Yeah, we did, said. Did Nick, we that was the first thing Nick said.
Yeah, that was Nick's first one.
I didn't listen to you. When Moves is here, I'm listening to him.
No, that's fine.
So there's one to go. She's an old-time actress. Leibs would have heard of her, though.
Yes, I'll definitely have heard of her.
Olivia de Havilland.
Of course. I should have got that one. I really should have.
Five most famous Olivias.
Really? I can't believe Olivia Rodrigo or Olivia Livy Dunn.
Who are you going to take off the list? It's like when a guy came to my office once and said, Coach, I should be playing 20 minutes a game. And I got the stat sheet and handed to him. And said, okay, there's 200 minutes in the game. Who am I taking minutes from? Who would you like me to? Well, I can't take him out. He's playing really well. Okay, well, then it's the same thing. So who are you taking off that list, Mr. Wise guy?
Okay, it's fair. It's fair. And Libby Dunn and Olivia Rodrigo are kind of.
Libby Dunn doesn't count. She goes by Libby.
Yeah, but her name's Olivia.
Do you think? Here we go. Really, I've got to turn my mind off.
This is going to be
troubling.
Might have to.
Who makes
button.
It? They both make it. One makes it and the other doesn't. Vice versa, or neither make it. Kelsey and Taylor Swift, or Libby Dunn and Paul Skeens?
I'm going with Paul Skeens. That guy rips 103.
So she's going to stay with him because he can break 100 on the speed barrier.
Yes, and MLB money is fully guaranteed. So
I don't think Travis Kelsey's living in a trailer park.
I know that. Yeah. I know that.
The worst
but
thing
he's
about
not the
youth,
breadwinner. He's
it's
not
wasted
the breadwinner.
On
the
young.
I think they may not be forever together. I think they both get married. What do you think about that for my prediction? How do you feel about that?
I like that prediction. It seems like, I mean, talking to Jason Anderson, who's got, you know, a finger of the pulse of things in, like, KC.
Well, what did he say?
He said that, you know, it sounds like things are getting real serious. He basically bought a house. Travis Kelce did.
Well, he plays for the Chiefs. So that
no,
makes
no.
Sense.
He bought a house in a neighborhood to be more private in a gated community so he could kind of cater
Bring
to Taylor's needs because, you know, people, the neighborhood he was in was a very nice neighborhood, but it was a public neighborhood.
Right.
So people were posting up on the street.
Sure.
You know, paparazzi and everything. So he's, you know, kind of altering his life. I mean, buying a house is a pretty big time decision.
I'm very familiar with the Taylor Swift situation because of a certain 10-year-old
right.
who is knows everything. You did know that he performed in England.
Yeah, I saw that.
He came out in a tuxedo and was a dancer, and then she was singing the song of one of her exes that had scorned her, whatever, while he came out. And then they took photos with the royal family.
Yeah, I did see that, too.
So that was apparently a big deal with him coming and dancing on the stage. And
They're so cute together. How could you not root for them? The guy's a tight end in the NFL, and he's dancing on a stage for a concert.
All I know is that I need to, Travis Kelce is ruining Taylor Swift concerts for me. I'm seeing him way too much.
Oh, dear God. Well, then you know what? Oh, yeah, I get it. You were doing the flip-flop.
Well
you
played.
Almost tricked me there. Yeah,
he did. He almost had
almost
you.
Gotcha.
Almost had you.
Yeah. Almost had you.
So I think they both make it.
I hope so.
That's what I think.
Paul Skeens is fun to watch.
He does throw the ball very fast.
Is there any chance of Olivia Dunn being in the Olympics?
No. They just had the Olympic trials.
I know. But I mean, like the next go-round, maybe. I don't know.
A gymnast at 20, that's rare.
Oh, that's a good point. Never mind.
What's her name?
Simone Biles.
Yes, the rest of them are.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right, I just was wondering if we would see her.
I don't mean to be rude, because I hated when people did that to the tennis player. It was a real hot tennis player.
Anna Kournikova.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. You know, she was the number one ranked doubles player in the world. That's pretty good at tennis. Oh, you know, she's just making money because she's good looking. And you know what? She's good looking as a model, and she's really good at tennis. Why begrudge her any success? Well, it's the same thing with Livy Dunn, that I don't want to sound like I'm being a hypocrite here, but they won the national championship. She didn't even compete in the meets in the championship. She never got off the bench. She scored as many points in that meet as I did.
I got to see Anna Kournikova jogging around. She lived in the same neighborhood as Coach Pitino.
Really?
I guess Julio Iglesias had a house there, but Enrique, I don't know which one is.
I think it's Enrique.
Okay. Yeah. And so I was at Coach Pitino's house.
She was hanging with Enrique at the time?
And she was, I think they're married.
Yeah, I think they did
get
it. Let's
go to the phones.
Yeah.
And I saw her jogging around.
Leaves was hiding in the bushes.
Obviously.
A big picture. His picture with that circle and the line through it at the entrance.
Then I started my laps.
All of a sudden, in his street clothes.
Yes.
He was running in a suit on.
I was in a tuxedo. But I said, it's time to jog.
It's time to jog.
Well, God bless.
Sup, Anna?
You know what?
Give her a little head.
God bless them. They're not married, but her partner is Enrique Iglesias. Would you like to know how long?
15 years.
Well, they were together when I was coaching here. So, I mean, that's...
He started to date her while she was still playing. 2001 till now. They've been together, those crazy kids, 23 years. God
Good
bless
for
them.
Well,
hi.
Right?
Nice.
Shabbat shalom.
He gave them l'chaim.
Good Yontif.
That was good. It was very damn entertaining.
What do we got? Salud, Jindan, those are ours. Those are the Italian.
Well, I love the when Fredo, when was it? Jindan. Was it 100 years?
Jindan.
Yeah, it means 100 years. Be true if my father was still alive. That's Connie's line to Michael.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jindan. Godfather Part 2.
Nice work out of
Great scene.
Good Lord.
He's good.
Don't remember that
He's
at
good.
All.
He's good. Mm-hmm. I need to go back and watch The Godfathers.
Oh, the look that Michael gives Connie when she says that. Oh, yes. And then that's when Frank Pantangeli spills the wine because he didn't come there to talk about dinner. And Michael, cheesa.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
What's that cheesa?
I guess that.
We should know.
Is because that's the subtitle. It says, I know.
Okay.
That's what cheesa, it says. I mispronounced it, but it's like cheesa.
We got to step our Italian up.
No, I don't know.
Your dad's trying to.
I can cuss at you in Italian.
Yeah, that's about all we got. I got that, and I can order soup.
Well, I mean, don't underestimate the value of
Italian
ordering soup.
I know Italian is not
soup.
Cheese-a. I don't know what that is.
I can say, como se dice.
I'm sure Tanner's finding that scene right now where he can pick it up. That scene where Michael, at the dinner table in part two, finds where he says, cheese-a. I'm sure Tanner's working feverishly
diligently
on
that one.
What? How would I define the scene if I wanted to look it up on Google? Michael Corleone,
Jindan, right?
The family at baptism. They're all together. The whole family. It's at the end of the evening.
At the baptism.
Well, it's part two though. It's not part one. The baptism. This is his.
Michael Corleone.
It's not his baptism. This is his what? When he.
Yeah, maybe this is it.
His.
Christening? No.
The music sounds right.
Not where he kills all the heads of the other family.
No, no, this is part two.
This is it.
Nick has it. Nick has it. Why is it in Spanish?
Crap, it is in Spanish.
That was so mean.
You found the scene.
Wait a minute.
You found the scene.
Found it in Italy.
Spanish.
In it's Spanish.
ESPN Deportes.
ESPN Deportes here. Buenos dias.
Because I was like, I don't remember them speaking for like right. The whole scene.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself. Okay, I was okay. Like,
you could almost find Michael talks to Frank Pantangeli at the family dinner or something like that.
Okay, wait. All right. No,
that
no,
was,
no. Here
that
we go,
was
here
way
go.
Back.
And he spills
part
the wine.
Two, dinner party.
Okay.
Action.
See if this is going to stick.
Oh, for God's sake.
We're almost there. We're almost there. What's
Chendan?
Chendan means 100 years.
It means we should all live happily for 100 years, the family. It'd be true if my father were alive. Honey.
Well, if books could kill.
Merle, you've met my sister-in-law, Deanna. Fredo's wife, a pleasure.
How do you do?
My sister Louise, Jesus.
That's Tom Hagen and the mom making fun of the.
Oh, God.
That was the part.
I got a phone call.
That was the part.
A phone call came in. I'm just trying to play the damn scene.
That was the part.
That was perfect. And now it's buffer.
It's
and now
Francis.
It's
that's what you usually do with
Francis my... Ford Coppola, who's hitting us with a copyright infringement.
That's what you usually do with my phone call. So
oh, my God.
I did it
was
one time.
Lee's eyes lit up. He's like, all right, we're right here.
There it is.
She's a.
And he says, I know.
What the hell can that mean? It doesn't mean I know. How does it... Did it show you in
no,
closed caption?
No, there was no closed caption on that.
Dang it. What does cheese in Italian mean? How would you spell that? C-H-E...
Here it is.
E.
The old man had too much wine.
Cheese mean in Italian.
I mean, you knew they were going to be accurate with the language. You know, he was a stickler for all that.
I remember this is...
This is when Google has no idea what you're talking about, the suggestions it makes. How to translate cheese doodles into Italian.
There was... I remember we were on a trip, a venture trip in Chicago. And we were watching The Godfather. And, you know, I was like the only Italian kid. So, you know, they were like, hey, Nick, you know, can you speak Italian? And all I did was... It's one of the scenes with Don Vito Corleone. He's talking.
Stu.
It was actually the scene right before he passes away.
Okay.
And all I did was slightly change the subtitles. And I was like, I think he's saying, and I read the subtitles, you know, something, you know, like, hello, you know, my nephew, or something like that. And they're like, holy smokes, Nick speaks fluent Italian. And I just was like, these guys. And it was a class for like... It was you had to have a certain GPA to be in this class. These are among the smartest kids in the school. And I was just
you
like, this
them.
Is amazing. Like, they think I speak fluent Italian. This is awesome.
So my assistant did that to me in Chinatown once. I was living in D.C., coaching a Catholic. I pulled up. Now, keep in mind, I'm in the driver's seat. He's in the passenger seat. So we pull up in front of the restaurant, and all I can see is the Chinese letters. I said, God, I wonder what this place is.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, they've got, you know, egg foo young and chop suey and all the... And I said, how the hell do you know that? You read Chinese? Oh, yeah. And then I leaned over, and above the Chinese was all the words. It was just like you were doing. Everything that he was reading was just the English words that were above the Chinese letters.
There you go.
Yeah. Well done. Well played. I cannot find Chiza. Chiza, C-H-I-Z-A, is Sardinian, technically. Chiza in Italian, but it can't make any sense because...
Do you look up I know?
Yeah, I know it's low so. That doesn't make any sense. Chiza is, it means ooze. Was he oozing? I don't think he was oozing.
What does Michael Corleone say to, what's that guy's name?
Frank Pantangeli.
Say to Frank.
I don't know what it can mean.
Pantangeli.
I tried to spell it, and Italian doesn't do a lot. Like, I don't think it would be pronounced Chiza if it was double Z.
Right.
Because that's a Z sound.
But you definitely hear Chiza.
Oh, I heard
Chiza. Yeah, no, you definitely hear Chiza.
It must be two words.
So I've always used it, like, with, like, coaching friends who, like, love those movies. So when we say, like, I know, I say, oh, Chiza. Oh,
wouldn't
yeah, all
the
time.
You're telling a guy to ooze. And then I keep getting up cheese in Italian, which, by the way, is formaggio, if you're wondering.
Ah, there you go. I knew that.
You said it in such an Italian way.
Formaggio. Oh. Oh, man. Cheese. Could mean who knows.
Who knows? He's saying who knows?
I don't know. Don't know. We're getting nowhere on this. Anybody speak Italian? How
do you say who knows?
What's that? Who knows?
Italian. Well, I thought that's what Dad just said.
No, he says, I know.
No. Who knows is lo so in Italian, believe it or not.
Chilosa.
Means what?
Is that close?
Chilosa. Maybe it's slang. No, I don't who knows? That's not
it. What did he say?
Chisa. Lo so is Italian for I know.
Chisa, Italian translation. We're in for a penny, in for a pound at this
maybe,
point.
You haven't peeked at the... Maybe somebody texted
I
in.
Looking,
no, it
nobody...
says who knows. Chisa is who knows. Chisa. Who knows?
That's maybe
it,
that's Nick.
That's what okay. I said. I said who knows. Chisa. But why is he saying who knows? Chisa.
What if he got... Maybe there's
let's
a,
go back
a version of saying, I know, because he's like, I didn't come here just to have dinner.
And he says, Chisa.
I know, because they're going to meet later in the evening maybe. About the Hyman Roth and... Everything else that went down.
Replay of audio, Godfather Scene 2, Godfather 2, Scene 30, take 1123.
The phone call. Who the hell even called me? I don't know who that was.
It's got to be something in that vein, but it's not, it can't be, I know.
It,
because but, I is like, I am is lo sono. I know is
right, but he's not saying who knows because he's saying it to him. He's I didn't come here to talk about that. He goes, I know. You see him like, and I think yeah, I know I've seen a subtitle because I'm always looking for everything where Michael's like, I know.
Subtitle says I know.
Yes,
That's some sort of slang that I guess.
It must be.
But ticking me off that I'm Italian, I don't have any idea.
You know who had Frank Pantangeli killed?
Who? Hyman Roth? No.
Well, yes, but the Rosado brothers. That's a great scene. In the movie, what was it? City Slickers 2, when John Lovitz recreates the whole that whole scene. It's one of my favorites. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
Hilarious.
City Slickers is great. That was one of the
City
first...
Slickers 2, which was not as good, but John Lovitz recreates
the
entire scene between Michael Corleone and Hyman Roth. He does the whole, like...
I don't remember
it is,
that at all.
That is the funniest thing in the world. And I'm sure Tanner's going to find at least a little snippet of that somewhere.
You know what I would like to ask, excuse? First of all, I got on a binge the other day and watched all Billy Crystal's Oscar hosts.
Mm-hmm. There's never been better. He's the best.
It's preposterously good.
Neil Knuckles Greenberg.
Then I would like, and you know, and so he's on there and he, somewhere along the line, they make a reference, which I'll come back to, but City Slickers was great. He's been in so many good movies. The one with the... The referee, what's that one called where he plays the
Forget
referee,
Paris.
Forget Paris. But he was maybe most proud of a movie that didn't get much traction.
Mr. Saturday Night.
Yeah. His dream movie.
Yes, it was.
He thought it was absolutely his masterpiece, and it was. And I thought it was, did you like
it? I liked it.
I thought it was very good, too.
Is that the Your Living Room
Your
Funny?
Your Living Room Funny, yes.
Yes.
It's gutsy. It's got some
No, the relationship
funny.
Between
it's
him
got
and his
some
brother.
Chops
and,
to
oh,
it,
it
really
does.
Does.
Yeah.
And he never got... It never got, and he berates.
That was his magnum opus for himself,
yes,
and whatnot.
Opus. Well, yes, magnum opus. Well said. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And so he mentions it once during the Oscars, mm-hmm. and a segment of the audience really applauds and mm-hmm. he appreciates because he was so proud of that, and it mm-hmm. didn't take any – it didn't go anywhere as near what it did with – God, he got more notoriety from Monsters, Inc. than he did
right.
for Mr. Sandman.
I love the movie with Gregory Hines. What was that movie he made when they were cops? That was a good movie.
I don't think I know.
Yeah,
that
I don't know that one.
Oh, that's a good one. Like, there were cops, and they were like, "Oh, it was good."
It's Billy good. Crystal,
Running
cop
Scared,
Running Scared.
There
yes,
you go.
Good movie.
It doesn't have a great rating, 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't always go by that.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
What quite a cast in that little film there: Joe Pantoliano and Jimmy Smits. I don't know the woman, Darlene Flugel.
Darlan Flugel.
Do you know who she is?
No idea. Let's look her up.
Don't know. All right. We'll let you go because we're going to be talking. Unless you want to talk gambling with Neil Knuckles Greenberg, you're welcome to.
Darlan Flugel's pretty.
Thanks. So I don't know what you. You're welcome to stay. Well, let's bring him in.
Bring him in. You never know.
Leibs is here. Neil Knuckles Greenberg joins us from the Washington Post. Neil, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing super. How are you?
Is there any, I don't know if you know anything about this, but we're doing a show and the TV's on in the background, and so I happen to see some images. Are they talking to try and get Klopp to come coach the U.S. national team? Is there meat on the bone with that?
Yeah, there's a report out there that's one of the two places that he might be interested in going to.
Oh, man. Would that be the cherry on the top of his career someday?
Let's think about it. How much worse can it get? Right, I mean, like, if anything, you probably improve the program and end up looking like a hero.
Oh, if he could get this thing rolling, he would be the hero of heroes. That'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, this is rock bottom. It can't get any worse. So I think it's a pretty appealing job if you look at it from that aspect of it.
He likes a challenge, all right.
Maybe I should do it.
Throw your name in them. You know, they haven't even fired the guy yet, and here we are giving him.
That'll be part of my deal. I'll fire him.
Okay.
And then I'll be the replacement.
You know who else is in the discussion? His English Premier League rival, Pep Guardiola. How about that? Either of those guys. That would be impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly signaling that there needs to be a drastic change, perhaps, with the program. It's been really disappointing, especially, you know, when you looked at the performance against the top teams over the past couple of years. It's just, you know, it's, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's a debacle. It's tough. It's tough because, you know, this is a sport that the majority of people pay attention to only a few times, every couple of years, and for it to never be competitive, has to be very, very, very disheartening to a lot of people.
Here's what I'm doing. I am going to try and hit a home run with Klopp or Guardiola, which is crazy, I think. I know Klopp's not. He's got no job. But the other one, I think, sounds really far-fetched. But, you know, we just went through a coaching search. That's what happens whenever a job opens. Right away, you think you're getting, you know, Red Auer back from the dead or, you know, Vince Lombardi or somebody. And then, obviously, you settle into some realistic. But I'm looking at the list of names. And I don't follow it as closely as some, even though I do like soccer very much. But the other names on the list don't do much to excite me. I would say either hit a home run with one of those other guys or stay with Berhalter and see it through and see if it, you know, if he can – they've done it's incredible because they've really their world ranking is not terrible. They're a CONCACAF, you know, they've had success in CONCACAF, but they can't seem to get any traction on a broader stage. And, even in a somewhat modest broader stage like this one. So I don't know. It's tough to see them going much more forward. So I don't know. You're a betting guy. What are the odds there's a new coach, do you think?
Oh, very good. There has to be, because as I said, you know, the masses only really tune in during the big events, and if USA is not going to do well during the big events, then people aren't going to tune in as much. So there has to be a change. I don't see how there isn't a change. After the 2022 World Cup, like, what else do you really look at that says it was somewhat successful, right? I mean, in 2018 was disastrous. You know, you just haven't really had anything else of note over the recent past. I'd be shocked if there wasn't a change.
Let me shift gears because we don't have a long time with you, so we'll try and cover as much ground. And maybe Mark Lieberman sitting in with us here as well, former Louisville assistant, now the head high school coach at Holy Cross. And you might want to weigh in on this because I want to see what you have to say about this, Neil. You just retweeted something. You didn't write it, but yesterday Open Doors put out a 16-page report on NIL 3 years in. And it's interesting that baseball has passed women's basketball as the third most compensated sport by collectives. Football by far the most, 72%. Men's basketball at 21%, and the rest. Baseball at 3.6. Women's basketball at 2.9. Volleyball is less than 1%. But what do you make of what's the most significant thing in there? The gap between the sports, that baseball's moved up to third? What did you take away from looking at those numbers?
Yeah, Jesse went on to say, though, the brand deals, which they call commercial NIL, football is still overwhelmingly number one. Women's basketball is ahead of men's basketball.
Really?
Women's volleyball, and then you don't really see any baseball in the top five. So I think that's looking at, like, what's commercially viable. And commercially viable right now, obviously, is football, but then women's basketball even more so than men's basketball. That, to me,
that was shocking.
The most telling thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just saw that. I'm sorry to interject, but, Neil, I just found what you were talking about so I can elaborate it for the listener. Football, 76%. Women's basketball, 10%. Men's basketball, just under 9%. Women's volleyball, 3%. Women's track and field, 1.6%. Baseball, nowhere to be found in that whole thing. And men's track and field.
Yeah, and if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense, right? Because the market is saturated with men's basketball endorsements. So now you have a huge opportunity to capitalize on the women's side. So that makes a lot of sense to me that you'd see money flowing into that part of it. Because there's a huge void there that has been for years, right? I mean, like, it just hasn't even been close to anything sort of a 50-50 split. I'm surprised that women's basketball is ahead of men's basketball, but I can understand why that is. And baseball, you know, the challenge with baseball, especially at the collegiate level, is you may never see these people, right? Like, it can be a really solid collegiate baseball prospect coming out, but you may not see him, one, for like 3-4 years, in which case you probably forget about him, but two, like, you may never see him. He could just be a career minor leaguer forever. So, you know, it's just, I don't think you get a good return on investment from baseball players in that way. But with the growth of women's sports, specifically women's basketball, I think there's a very real opportunity there.
You know, we've come many times to your fair city to do the ACC tournament, and I just saw this you posted. I want to know what credibility you give to it. As always, we can't just read things. We have to say, well, consider the source. Is it a right-wing-leaning publication, a left-wing-leaning? Capital One Arena, which is home to the Wizards and Capitals, and the ACC tournament on occasion, named one of the five most dangerous NBA arenas. I didn't read the report. I don't know what it encompasses. I assume it's got to do with crime rate and things like that. Is there credibility to this? Is it dangerous to go see a game there now? What's going on?
Well, here's the thing. When Ted Leonsis was first being wooed by Virginia, one of the items that came out was that there were only like 20-something police officers assigned to police Wizards and Caps games. And all additional police officers had to come out of Monumental's pocket. So crime rate soared there because, you know, the restaurants aren't open as much, so you don't really have as many people lingering
right
after the game as you did. So the crime rate started to go up. Now, with the new deal that he has in place after the Virginia thing fell through, D.C. came in, stepped in. They've committed to improving the police presence there. They've committed to reducing crime, et cetera. The thing that got me at this whole thing was citing a report where one of the sources used was Reddit's NBA subreddit. Now, we've all been on Reddit, I wouldn't call it the most credible source of information that's out there. As a matter of fact, there's an artificial intelligence bot out there by a major company that's actually training its answers using Reddit. So, like, if you ask it, you know, how many dinosaurs can you can eat, it will actually break down, like, you can eat 7 dinosaurs in one sitting, but you shouldn't eat more than that because of the fat content. Like, so, you know, you have to really kind of look into what are the sources here. Yes, it is probably not the safest place in terms of, you know, arenas, but I have no idea if it should be one of the most dangerous, because I choose to get my information from someplace other than a subreddit.
All right, before I let you go, Neil, Wimbledon going on. Any good betting opportunities there in your mind?
Wimbledon's tough. Let's see. What do I have here? Maybe on the women's side, like an upset, like Kenin over Swiatek.
Wow.
And I think Swiatek is one of the best in the business. But if you're going to swing for the fences, swing there. And also, I think there's a value bet to be had on Tiago Wild over Paul Jubb. Not going to be as juicy, obviously. You know, he's 24 years old from Brazil. He's shown the ability that he can play on any surface. Looks a little bit like Roger Federer, which is obviously worth a lot.
Yes.
Those are probably the two things that I'm looking at.
All right. I'll take a look at it. My friend, you have a good fourth. Thanks for joining us, Neil. Take care of yourself.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Neil Knuckles Greenberg with us. All right. Here we go. Stoplight challenge for my two boys, because I think you'll be intrigued by this.
All right.
I am going to be particularly proud when we're done, so that gives you a little tip off. Actually, Washington tied for 8th. By whether you think there's any credibility to this or not, of the least safe NBA arenas. How many of the top 5 do you think you can name?
Top 5
least safe NBA arenas. The Wizards are tied for 8th with the Pacers. How about that? Shocked about that. I think that place, downtown Indy, looks fine to me.
I would say.
By the way, let me tell you before you answer, mm-hmm. this is how they put the report together. Visible drug sales, increased presence of unhoused people, disruptive panhandling. Those are the things that are at the top of the list, and obviously other, in addition to just the general crime rate of the area. So go ahead. Now take a pick.
Golden State.
Golden State. Very impressive.
Strong work.
Number 5, tied for 4th, actually, with another.
Barclays Center, Brooklyn.
New.
Yeah, they cleaned that up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Detroit.
Detroit is nowhere to be found in the top 15.
Huh.
Miami.
Miami is nowhere to be found in the top 15.
Wow. Oh, Boston.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Phoenix?
Nope.
Dallas.
Yeah. You're just throwing franchises out there.
You gotta, like, yeah, gotta nope. Think about the area and whatnot.
I'll be happy to point out the New York Knicks. Really, New York's nowhere to be found on this list.
Well, yeah, once
Thank you. Once
I heard no Brooklyn, I was like, all right, they clean out MSG then.
There's a million cops there all around.
Yeah. You know? OKC. It's like Chesapeake Arena.
No.
Ah.
You guys are
Chicago?
Struggling.
United Center?
Struggling mightily here. You haven't got any of the top 15 except one. He got Golden State. That's the only one you've hit so far.
Sacktown.
Sacramento. Minnesota. Everyone's always mad.
Minnesota's the Minnesota? No way.
It's Staples Center.
Staples Center in L.A.?
It's actually Crypto Arena.
And neither one, it doesn't matter. Neither of the L.A. arenas, the old one or the one
I've been there. It's not a very savory area.
I'll tell you the one that I'm not surprised is on here, that you were in the right church, wrong pew, when you said Florida.
Orlando.
Orlando. Bad. Magic.
Is it?
Oh, Orlando, my God. Magic. I mean, it's such the happiest place to go to Disney, and then you go to Orlando the Arena, and you feel like you're in. I was stunned by how
unsafe,
bad.
Where's
tons it of homeless, no police presence. There was nothing. So, that's unbelievable that we haven't gotten
New Orleans.
New Orleans is New Orleans has second a homeless problem, most dangerous.
That's a good really? Guess.
That's a good guess.
Ooh,
idea.
Charlotte.
Charlotte. Is 11th. Now you're starting to get some teams.
I was going
to
say the team's bad, so it's got to be bad outside.
There you go. Disappointed by number 13. Toronto Raptors.
Toronto,
I like
really?
Toronto, yeah.
I thought they're nice up there.
Number 1 is a team that by a significant margin is the worst place to...
San Antonio.
No.
Ah.
and they're not far. You can drive to this place.
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia's third, but that's this place is much closer.
Memphis?
Cleveland. Memphis, number one.
Wow.
Memphis is one. New Orleans is two.
Cleveland?
Sixers are three. Magic and Golden State are tied for four. Then I'll give you the rest of the list. Atlanta is six. Cleveland is seven. I already told you the Wizards are tied with the Pacers for eighth. Portland is 10th, probably because of all the doob that they're, you know, they people just wander around into balls.
Everything's decriminalized.
Charlotte. Did somebody say Charlotte?
Yeah.
Tanner, you got that Charlotte. Right. That's 11. Houston is 12. Denver and Toronto tied for 13. And then Milwaukee, 15. I don't see that. Milwaukee doesn't strike me as a danger. You've been there? You've been, been to Bucks games?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't struck by that.
Yeah, like. We played Marquette, too, that area.
Yeah,
so
I thought it was fun. Yeah. I had a wonderful dinner right across the street from the arena.
I like Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a nice
Milwaukee's
city.
Milwaukee's a good town. I like Milwaukee. But
a lot of Italians in Milwaukee.
Stereotype. Oh, speaking of which, how about that? You would love this. Leaves might not have as much of an emotional attachment. I'm watching the Brewers play at Colorado last night. Okay. And I don't know who the announcers are for Milwaukee. Good job. They did a nice job. I don't know them. The one guy is an ex-player, evidently, the color guy, and he must have some Italian in his family because he was talking about how much he likes coming to Denver. They have a lot of cool things to do there. He said, and he mentioned, I guess, they went to a sports bar.
Right.
And he said they have all sorts of, you know, kind of leagues. So they got a darts league, and they got a something else. And he said, and they have Boch. And the play-by-play guy said, Boch? What the hell's Boch? He said, you know, Boch, you mean bocce ball? He said, yeah. He said, it's bocce. He said, oh, no. He said, my grandfather's from the Bronx, and he's Italian, and they all call it Boch.
Boch.
Now, we've heard Boch.
Boch.
Where the hell did that come
from? I kind of like Boch. You want to play a little Boch?
Boch? I don't know about that.
I know that this is something that we lose Italian points on because we've Angloized it as bocce. But, you know,
just
we did
so
that.
Long as when you get out there, leaves, I want to help you because you're an honorary Italian. That's we don't throw that. It's like Kentucky Colonels. We don't just go throw it around. You know, you got to be loved, and you are an honorary paisan. That's how my family feels about you.
Grazie, grazie.
So don't go and say whatever you do, bocce ball. Oh, God. That's like saying basketball ball. It's like saying basketball ball. That's what bocce means. The thing that you roll is called a bocce. So you don't roll it and call it a bocce. You wouldn't say, pass the basketball ball. It's a bocce. And you know what bocce really means?
No.
Kiss.
Because the object of the game is to get the balls to kiss.
I knew it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You know it was from Milwaukee. Gene Wilder.
No, I did not know.
Yeah. Really? Watch that special.
You know who else is from Milwaukee? You'd appreciate this. The three guys who put together Airplane.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's where they met. They all met in Milwaukee, and they went to University of Wisconsin, and then they went to L.A. They were trying to figure out the name of their comedy group. They put together an improv comedy group. They rented this old abandoned building in Milwaukee, and they were trying to figure out what to call it, and they were eating. It was late at night, as young single guys tend to do.
Sure.
And there was a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken on the ground. So they called it Kentucky Fried Theater. And that was their name. And then they had made Kentucky Fried Movie, which is very underappreciated. It's really just a collection of their skits that they did in their live show. And then that led to them on an 8-year quest, basically, to put together Airplane. And they did. And their lives were changed forever.
I know you were reading that.
Oh, I enjoyed that book. A lot. Mm-hmm. It was hilarious.
Famous people from Milwaukee. Did you say that on the air?
You need to say these things on the air.
You can say it on the air. Go for it.
Dahmer's from Milwaukee, right? Oh, yeah, sure. In fact, if you pull in, you know those little signs they have when you pull into the city? You know, Milwaukee, home of...
Just find out where all the serial killers are from.
All right, so here we go.
Isn't John Wayne Gacy from up there, too?
You know who's got...
That wasn't even like a joke.
You know what state has a disproportionately high level of...
Serial killers?
California.
Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Indiana's got... Go look it up.
Really?
Oh, my God. For the amount of population.
All right. David Giantoli.
Gesundheit.
Heather Graham. Big fan of hers. Jacob Lattimore.
I thought you were reading serial killers. I'm like, Heather Graham, what the hell happened to her?
Yeah, no. She got arrested last week.
I missed that story.
Yeah.
No, these are famous big people news from Milwaukee. Jane Kaczmarek.
Kaczmarek, yeah.
Spencer Tracy.
Ooh, wow.
Isn't Whitney Houston from Milwaukee?
She should be from Houston. Not showing up. Oprah Winfrey is.
You've
There's somebody from
Liberace.
Houston.
Liberace. I'm just naming the people that Whitney I know. Houston's Jeffrey Dahmer, yes.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston was actually just slightly off, born in Newark, New Jersey.
Go down.
It's almost Milwaukee.
Harrison Ford.
Wow.
I did know that as well.
Gene Wilder.
He said that.
He wasn't paying attention.
I was just reiterating.
When Whitney signed her autograph, she just signed Whitney.
I don't know. I don't know. There's
some people. They're iconic. They're just one name, right? Liberace.
Yeah.
Pele.
But how do you know? Like, for example, maybe I had got the autograph of the guy who invented the cotton gin. You know that it was just Eli Whitney.
Well then. I mean, I've got nothing for you there.
Have you heard of these guys? I'm going to shoot through this list real fast.
Okay, quick.
George Kroll. Alan Ludden.
Wait a minute. Ludden was one of the most famous game show hosts of all time, married to Betty White.
Really?
Isn't George Kroll like Nick Kroll's dad and also like a billionaire?
Don't know. Okay. It's C-R-O-I-L.
Oh, no, never mind then.
Woody Herman.
Probably shouldn't have said that
Herman,
one on
the jazz musician. Yeah, right. Fantastic.
Walter Annenberg.
I do know. Why do I know that name? That's terrible. I should know that name, and I don't.
Very pretty actress, Rachel Brosnahan.
Oh, you know she is.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Are you kidding me?
And
who is
Milwaukee?
She now? Who is she now? What's her next big role?
I don't know.
Lois Lane.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is it out, or they're doing another Superman?
They're doing another Superman.
Woody Herman and his band from Metropole playing Caledonia. So let's have a great hand for him.
This is Woody Herman.
That's him.
I like it.
Oh, Woody's bringing the energy.
I like it.
Who is the other guy? Why do I know? People are going to embarrass me now because Walter Annenberg is one of those names you should know.
I don't know.
He's the former United States ambassador to the United Kingdom.
Okay.
But he also was a businessman, investor, and philanthropist. I should have known that. He developed a close relationship with Queen Elizabeth, by the way. His business career was...
God love those Brits.
No. Pip, pip, cheerio.
He had a publishing empire. He had the Philadelphia Inquirer. He was a very influential person. It's too long to read.
Walter Annenberg.
Yeah.
With a name like Walter Annenberg, you just feel like that guy's important.
He should be.
Wes Aspen.
Don't know that.
John Ridley.
Don't know that.
Jim Abrahams.
Jim Abrahams is the guy who put together the airplane. It's one of the guys I was just talking about.
Oh, okay. Jerry Harrison. Herb Cole.
Oh, that's the Cole Center.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Wait, like, does he own Kohl's? Department
What's
store?
What's his first name?
Herb. Herb Cole.
I think it may be. That may have been part of his business empire. But as you used to say when you were a baby, maybe I'm just saying that. Herb Cole was a United States senator.
Oh, okay.
But he was also a businessman. And I don't know what his business
was.
Does he
own Kohl's?
He was president of Kohl's Corporation, his family business that owned the Kohl's department store chain.
Okay, there you go.
And he also owned the Milwaukee Bucks.
So the Kohl's. Yeah. So the Kohl's
is... Not to
be
confused with Nat King Cole. How you doing?
Hey. Mm-hmm. Golda Meir.
Golda Meir?
Golda Meir.
Meir, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Meir. All right, there you go.
Was she prime minister of Israel?
Believe so.
How was she the prime minister of Israel
former
if she was born in Milwaukee?
Former prime minister of Israel. Served as the fourth prime minister of Israel.
I think it's got to be someone else. It's Oscar Meyer? It's the guy who...
Golda Meir.
The hot dog guy?
Yeah, Wieners.
Golda Meir.
Gotta love Wieners.
Was
big fan of Wieners.
Born in Kiev, Russian Empire. Again, often confused for Milwaukee.
Well, it says Golda Meir.
Golda Meir. I don't... Who the hell? That is her.
Famous people from Milwaukee.
Golda Meir was into the microphone. Was a teacher and organizer in Milwaukee before becoming Israel's first prime minister in 1969. Female prime minister.
Huh.
How about that?
So there you go. She went to the Milwaukee State Normal School.
Normal school. I like that.
That's what they used to call them. That's what they were called.
A normal school.
Normal school. Normal school. Just a normal school. A school, I think, that taught teachers. It was like a teacher's.
Oh, okay.
Latrell Sprewell's from Milwaukee, too.
Okay. He didn't show up on this list. That's a shame. They should have put him on there.
Jordan Poole, Steve Novak, and Tyler Hero.
Yeah,
Poole and Hero, I knew off the top of my head. But
they have none of those guys on here. I don't know why they didn't put any athletes. Deidre Hall. I think she's an actress.
She is
an
actress.
Normal school was an institution created to train teachers by educating them in the norms of pedagogy and curriculum. Pedagogy. How do you say pedagogy? Whatever. Not pedophilia.
Hey, no, I hope there's no schools for that.
No, thank you.
Amy Pitts, P-I-E-T-Z.
Okay.
Mark Alamo.
All right.
Or Alamo.
I think we're getting into the deep weeds here. We probably don't.
David Giantoli.
How come the other two guys didn't make that list? The two guys from
Jacob
Airplane.
Lattimore, Heather Graham. I don't know. That's just who came up.
Very nice.
There you go. And now you know a little bit more about Milwaukee. I was wondering if one of my celebrity crushes, Anjay Utgard, was from there, but she's from Richmond, Milwaukee. Oh, one of my high school crushes, Candice Michelle, wrestling diva.
Not familiar.
She's a looker.
That got Tanner just to... He popped right up.
No one is. No one's familiar with.
No one's familiar with Candice Michelle.
No, Candace Parker. Yeah, I'm
who's
familiar.
Candice Michelle? She a porn actress?
No, she was a wrestler. Oh. But she did Playboy.
What goes without saying? Who hasn't?
She's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I remember reading an article that she enjoys it's like a Milwaukee dog or whatever. It's like a bologna roll or something.
Oh, what do you like to do in your free time? I like to go to the Packers game, yeah.
No, she's like, it's my simple.
Oh, God.
It's my simple
she's
Wisconsin
so pretty,
roots.
But her voice is awful.
Candice Michelle Beckman is her real name. She goes by Candice Michelle, a retired professional wrestler, an American model, and actress. So there you go.
Yeah, she's a looker. But no, she was like talking about this like bologna roll thing.
What is he looking at?
Yeah, oh, I'm showing showing a photo. She's an attractive lady, and she's
5'7", 120 pounds. If you're scoring at home, it just came up on the internet. I don't know why.
Wait, is it no? Seriously, it's like
how many people are scoring at home right now?
Hey, if you are, why are you listening to us? That's what I'm saying.
Wisconsin bologna roll. I think it's a thing. I remember she was talking about this was like her favorite snack.
And Wisconsin bologna roll. This sounds like some kind
of euphemism.
Term.
Don't you realize what she's telling you?
You know way too much about this, Nick.
No, it was.
She was using a euphemism for, you know, having a little bologna roll. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, like it was like bologna and a pickle doing. And like bread or something like that. It sounded really good.
It's a real food. Wisconsin, it's called ring bologna. It's a descendant of German ringwurst, which I thought you could clear up with penicillin, but I guess not. It's made from lean beef and pork, stuffed into casings, slow smoked over hickory, often served sliced, and can be eaten as a snack, hors d'oeuvre, or as a sandwich. It's called ring bologna, or there you go.
Yeah, I thought it was something like that. And I know there's a pickle involved somehow.
There's no question about that.
Put that on the mixtape.
We should get pork roll sent here from New Jersey, or Taylor ham. I don't know what you guys call it.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that like a big thing? Like, yeah, depending. Massive. Yeah, like you can get like
so
killed
good.
If you say it the wrong thing.
Yeah. North Jersey's like Taylor ham. South Jersey's pork roll.
We had something. Do you have anything that you ate as a child that you haven't had in years that you'd say, well, I'd like to try that again and can't even identify it? Like, I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, my mother would give me for taking lunch to school cream cheese and jelly sandwiches. I love those, but I know what they were and I made them. There was this other kind of meat thing that I can't figure out what it was. You served it hot.
Spam?
No, it wasn't spam.
Couldn't
it
figure
was
out the
bologna,
meat.
And I can't figure out.
Couldn't figure out the meat?
Can't figure out what meat
took
I was
my line.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it even more disgusting, but I couldn't come up with an adjective.
Couldn't figure out what the meat was that was in your mouth.
There you go. There it is.
The
mixtape.
There we go.
I don't. What types of luncheon meats are there? Maybe you could help me.
Bologna, pastrami, turkey, ham.
It's not that disgusting luncheon meat that's got the little flecks of fat in it, whatever that's called.
Mortadella?
Luncheon loaf.
Oh, luncheon loaf.
Yeah, and mortadella. Wasn't that.
Pistachio and cube fat.
I don't know what type it was. I wonder if they still make it.
It's actually peanut butter.
That's what it was. Luncheon meats in America. I've got to go find this, and I'm going to have it again.
We need to take a break.
Chicken bologna mortadella, which is awful.
Hersey Miller is going to Southern Utah.
I thought he was going. I thought he had picked another school.
Someone just sent a screenshot of it in our in the text line.
Okay, well that should make you happy. I thought you were buying. I thought you were buying merchandise from another school already.
Oh no! I'm getting
the. Oh, that's Caron Davis.
Yeah, I'm getting Rage of Cajun gear. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's speaking of which, did you see the story? The guy.
Are we going to go to break?
Yeah, eventually. The guy.
Nate's waiting.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let me get this out, and then we'll get to it. Damn it. The guy took the job. The baseball coach at A&M took the Texas job.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Texas people were pretty moist about it because they thought he was going to bring his whole staff, and then all the players were going to follow.
Right.
So he comes, and he brings his hitting coach. And the hitting coach then announced yesterday, you know what, not going. A&M hired him as their head coach. And now almost all the players are staying.
Ooh.
So now they got this guy. That's it. And they were like all excited, and they just got another guy. That's all they got. And I'm wondering if how many jobs are given to people largely because they think of who they're going to bring with them.
Yeah, like a package.
100%.
Deal.
Really? You think that's where we're going?
It's 100%. And that's even, you know how it was, even before the portal and NIL. Coaches, assistant coaches were hired because they would bring these players. But now, because of this and the relationships, as a head coach, you're going to bring
all your team.
You can bring your whole team. That's the norm.
The Texas people are a little cranky because they're like, we gave this guy a boatload of money and he's a fine coach, but there's a lot of coaches out there. We thought he was going to bring his staff and the players. He's got great players.
That's all that matters.
Nobody's coming.
Wow.
All right, let's bring the umpire in. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and talk to our – great seeing you again. Welcome back, my brother.
Thank you.
ESPN 680-1057.